This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Joining me today is Sapna Anand, celebrity chef, author, consultant, TV host. So Sapna is known for her innovative take on traditional Indian cuisine, specifically Goan, which she's currently working on for a new menu under the Sold Out Group. She also published and authored books on Indian cooking and cuisine, a star on her very own cooking show, Fast Indian Cooking by Sapna, featured on Asian Food Channel. So very excited to be speaking to you, Sapna. A little bit of your background, your unique take on Indian cuisine has garnered your attention as a renowned chef on Indian cuisine. What was the turning point in your career that brought you to where you are today? Because you studied psychology.
Yes.
Okay, so yes. How did you get here?
Oh, I didn't expect this at all. And it started really late, okay. mid-30s. So it is a big surprise for me too. And I think about it, I wonder what happened.
Okay.
Is everything just happened? I never cooked before. Till today, I cannot make good tea.
Okay.
That's how terrible I was. My husband, Anand, always cooked for me for months together, even after marriage. And finally, he said, you better learn because I can't be cooking every day. So my first cookbook was when we lived in San Francisco, mm-hmm. Julie Sahani's Classic Indian Cooking. Right. I think that's where I started picking up a little bit of cooking. I burnt a whole chicken trying to make tandoori chicken. That's how bad I was. But I didn't give up. I kind of was curious.
Right.
But the fear that I can't do it kept me away from it for a long time. I kept putting it away, thinking, oh, this is not my thing. Mm. I grew up with my mom cooking, my mom's helper cooking for us. We've always had the best food. So I really didn't need to venture into it. So then suddenly you're put in a spot where you have to cook. This is not my thing.
Okay.
I went on for years and I tried and, I failed and I kept cooking whatever I could. My mom's recipes through letters. Those days there was no...
letters, okay.
Yeah, it was just letters in which I could barely understand. And but I tried, and out of necessity and craving for home food, I kept trying. And I think my first change was when we were in the U.S., all the ingredients were available.
Mm.
So I started cooking with what's available in America. Mm. And I think I enjoyed that. That it was not, I'm following a recipe. I was doing what I felt like.
Mm.
Slowly that whole process of enjoyment kind of took me to exploring, let's do more, let's try more. And then as the kids grew up, that was when I moved to Malaysia, the kids were 4 or 5 and I said, okay, I need to start cooking fast cooking, something that's not going to take away too much time from me. Learn to explore more. And coming to Malaysia was like coming back home.
Mm.
So I felt like it was easier to create something.
You could get all the ingredients
here.
Yes,
I could. It was familiar. The tastes were familiar. I'm from Goa, so there's a lot of food that's very familiar to Goan cuisine as well as the Malaysian cuisine. So I started enjoying it. It was no more, I have to do this for the kids or for my husband.
Mm.
When the kids were in school and started creating lunch boxes, I think that's where it began.
Right.
And then it started off with a blog, My Test Kitchen.
Okay.
And that was, I was bored. So as an expat here, they say there's two ways. Either you find a way to enjoy your time or, you can get depressed and whine about it. So I said, okay, let me do something.
Mm.
And I wasn't working. So that's when I started writing a blog. I was brave enough to just put anything and everything out there. I didn't think of what would people think.
Right.
I think that was my first step towards opening up to cooking.
Mm.
And I created dishes from my mom's recipes, which I grew up with a little bit of my travel into California or Northern Ireland, a little bit of UK. So I mixed it all up. And the people who read my blog kind of started enjoying it.
Mm.
Oh, wait, we can make an Indian dessert in the style and under 30 minutes. I didn't know that. We could make healthy kids' lunchbox with you know, keeping within 30 minutes
mm.
and making sure they get all their nutrition, yet it is very home style food.
Right.
We didn't know that. I was in this little bubble, you know, enjoying the process and trying out. But yeah, it the blog took off, and then I started teaching at 19 Culinary Studio.
Okay.
I said, I need to go beyond this. And that's when MPH noticed my blog and my Facebook page. I think the Facebook page is still there. I couldn't delete.
Okay.
Okay. It's memories, although it's not active. So that's where it all started. MPH thought, oh, this is not the usual Indian cooking.
Right.
It's completely different. And he also noticed that it was doable. Like anybody could make it.
Okay.
You don't have to be an expert.
Okay.
And that's what the idea was, is to make it easy, simple.
Right.
And he says, okay, this is it.
And that was your first book, New Indian Cuisine.
New Indian Cuisine.
Okay. How did
New Indian Kitchen.
New Indian Kitchen. Yeah. How did the TV show come about? Because you're on Asian Food Channel.
Yes. So TV show, I was, it was an interesting story. It was a long journey. I met a friend who produces show, Wild Snapper Productions, at another friend's place. And we just enjoyed that evening, and we were talking all about food. And they said, oh, wait, we've got our first cooking show.
Hmm.
And that's when the idea of fast Indian cooking came up that night. But it took us 4 years to get the show out on Asian Food Channel.
Mm.
We produced the show by ourselves. So that's why it was a bit hard for us to get into a TV channel. It was not sanctioned by AFC to begin with. So it was a process. It was a lot of rejections and rejections. 4 years, we thought, you know, after the third year, we thought this is just not happening.
Right.
So, you know, we didn't give up.
Mm.
Let's keep trying. But fourth year, magic happened, and AFC saw a clip of it.
Right.
And said, this is it. And I think that was a first ever Indian cooking show in Asian Food Channel.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? You would think, right, with the world population of Indians over a billion and them,
yes.
you know, all over the world.
Being one of the most popular cuisines.
Yeah. Of course, you're talking about the restaurant that's happening, right? And it's this restaurant that just opened. But that's not your first foray into restaurants as well.
No.
Okay.
I have done a lot of consultations before. We've
mm-hmm.
worked with different restaurants, not only consulting one-night dinners. So there's a lot that has happened before.
Right.
For all these, you know, from 2009 onwards
okay.
till now.
Okay.
It's been a long journey.
Right.
Yeah, till today. And
of course, you did some cooking at Le Cordon Bleu. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And of course, you're now going to be at Tujo.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm here with Chef Sapna Anand. You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise. Good morning, I'm Fearlew. You're also listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Sapna Anand, celebrity chef, author, consultant, and TV host. We've talked a little bit about her journey. We started in the mid-30s in cooking, and of course, of all the things that she's done right now with her cookbooks and all that. So you are currently tied up with Tujo, and you've got a new menu called Goa by Sapna Anand at Tujo.
Yes.
So tell me about what's on this menu.
What I'm bringing to Tujo is not the usual cuisine you would find generally in an Indian restaurant. I try to bring in the regional cuisines that is not explored
right.
before. And some of these cuisines, you will find familiarity because of the historical influence, because of the colonial journey, you know, the route. A lot of Goan food from the coastal line, which is Mangalore, Manipal, all the way to Mumbai, and even from Kerala. My parents are originally from Kerala, so I have a lot of influence from there. So that's the kind of food we are exploring. But people have this perception, usually, what we think of Indian food. Butter chicken, roti, naan, thosai,
yeah.
marawal. But there is so much more to Indian cuisine.
Right.
There is so much more. And I've always wanted to bring it out to the public. We have, for example, butter garlic prawns. Right. That's from Goa.
Right.
There's no spices in it. But it's so delicious. It's one of the best dishes you will find by the shack in Goa. Because the seafood is freshly caught from the sea.
Right.
And then it's cooked in butter and a little bit of garlic. And it's the ultimate dish. And would you imagine Indian cooking is... There is a part of Indian cooking which does not involve too much of spices and masala and the gravy.
Mm.
But that's what usually people always have this in mind. Oh, it's heavy.
Laden with spices. Yeah,
it's heavy. It's overloaded with spices. No, it's not true.
Mm.
There's a lot of regional cuisines that is simple and it's mild, it's light.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we want to bring here at Goa.
Will you be staying true to the original recipe or giving the Sapna touch to it?
Certain recipes I would not touch.
Okay.
Out of respect for the way it is cooked.
Okay.
Out of respect for the ingredients. For example, vindaloo.
Mm.
It's an interesting story about vindaloo. You know, vindaloo actually literally translates in Portuguese, carne de vindalos, which means meat cooked in garlic and wine.
I see.
And as it reached Goa, it got laden with spices.
I see.
And red chilies. Red chilies was again new to India. I think red chilies and tomatoes were never locally grown or it was never originated from India. It was brought in by the Portuguese.
Right.
So vindaloo, as it traveled from Goa, Kerala, Goa, as it went towards British, towards now.
And now it's, the national dish of the UK.
But then it got misinterpreted. Mm. Vindaloo, alu in Hindi means potatoes.
Right.
So now they cook vindaloo with potatoes.
Okay.
So what I want to bring back is the originality, which is from Goa.
Right.
I want to keep that. And I believe that's some recipes we shouldn't touch. Just leave it.
Who knew? I got a history lesson out of this.
So it's interesting how you can, certain recipes you just do not tweak or you do not touch. But what I have in the Tujo menu is representing certain dishes. For example, for a dish from Kerala with a little touch of local vegetables, what's available here.
Mm.
We have a grilled fish with saffron sauce and charred bok choy.
Right.
So it's just a combination of ingredients.
Right.
So that's my essence, my style, my cooking. But then, so it's two parts of the menu. One is traditional, where you just respect the way it has been done for years. And one where
you can experiment with.
Yes.
Why did you decide to go into this space, the restaurant space? I mean, it's not your first time, but then, like, you know, it is a lot of a commitment as well, right?
It is. Right. It is. I enjoy working with a team.
Mm.
I enjoy exploring. I like feeding people, I guess. So that's one reason why I said, okay, let me put out all my creativity and try it out. There's a joy when you see, you know, people have a bite and says, oh my God, this is the best vindaloo, or this is the best sauce, or this is the best fish I've had.
Mm.
So in the end, I enjoy listening to that.
Mm.
I just feel like, okay, all my hard work has paid off.
The fruits of your labor.
Yes.
You, just in between all that as well, you took a year-long stint with Le Cordon Bleu Academy in Bangkok, right? Why did you do that? I mean, was your family with you, that kind of thing?
No, that was really hard.
Right.
Yes, it was 9 months of intensive traveling.
This was before we had Le Cordon Bleu in Malaysia, right?
Yes, I said.
And why did you do that? And this was in pastry. Right?
Yes, but cuisine.
Not cuisine. So what were the techniques and what did you learn there? How do you apply it to what you're doing right now?
I wanted to specialize in pastry because I always thought I could figure out cuisine.
Okay.
This is actually not true.
All right.
I just self-taught. I would still love to go back and learn the art of cooking from a French culinary school.
Right.
But pastry was something I always thought is a challenge. And I wanted challenge. Always looking for challenge in my life. So let me try pastry first. Went for a 9-month course at Bangkok. I traveled every weekend back and forth.
Oh, dear.
Because kids were little.
Yeah.
So cook for the weekend, pack make sure there's enough food for 1 week, frozen in the freezer, go back every Sunday night, and then my husband is to pick me up and back and forth. Mm. I mean, he really supported me a lot during this time. But what I carried back and what I brought back and I implemented in my food and my cooking was the techniques I learned from pastry,
right.
Surprisingly.
Okay.
There's one recipe in my cookbook, 5-spice chicken tart.
Mm.
5-spice achari chicken tart. Achari means pickling spices.
Okay.
So we have 5 pickling spices, which is quickly stir-fried with chicken, or you could even use paneer, and then stuffed into a French pastry,
right.
And then loaded with Gruyere cheese.
Okay.
Imagine, yeah. And then baked. The course kind of inspired me to be creative,
right.
And use it in my cooking,
right.
Unlike in my pastry. Of course, I used it a lot in my pastry. I've created a lot of recipes in my cookbook for restaurants using the techniques what I learned in Le Coeur de Bleu.
Right.
But I was surprised that I could actually use it in cooking too.
Right.
Yeah.
So yes. there's an art to this. And of course, you based on your TV show Fast Indian Cooking by Sapna, you also have a cookbook.
Yes.
On that as well.
On that
well. 2 cookbooks. Yeah. So like with your kids, right? I mean, do they get a thrill every day, you know, with what's Ma preparing? Or is that like, you know, do they take it for granted?
Oh, sometimes. Let's face it, yes, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes they expect, oh, Mommy's going to create something new every time.
Yeah.
What do you have? We ate this 2 days back. Can you do something else? It's like, no.
Peanut butter sandwich for you.
Yes. There's only so much you can do.
Right.
But I do a lot of testing at home.
Mm.
And my kids
are the guinea pigs.
Yes, and my husband are the guinea pigs. And I think they're used to that. So they're always looking forward to, okay, what else has she created?
Okay.
So it's good because my daughter takes these recipes sometimes, you know, when she's in the university. She says, oh, this is so simple. I can
right.
go make it at home.
Right.
It's good, but at the same time, I do think they take it for granted.
Now, you've got a lot of things up your sleeve. You've got this premium spice brand that you've come up with.
Yes, it's
okay.
been a few years now.
Okay.
It's a tie-up with Hexa, Hexa Spices. They wanted a premium brand of spices that's not available easily here.
Right.
One of them is a black telecherry pepper. It is from Kerala. It's a sweet pepper. It has a, when you bite into it, it has a taste of apple. And
okay.
it's very premium, used usually nowadays, the last couple of years, in Michelin star restaurants.
Okay.
It's great with fish, you know, great to make a crust and for rubs. There is also Sri Lankan cinnamon.
Mm.
And we have a spice mix. So we have a Sri Lankan spice mix. We've got Vindaloo spice mix just to make cooking easier for
right.
anybody. Vindaloo usually has a whole bunch of spices. So what I did was I put everything together to make one spice mix. So you just mix it up with your meat and the rest of the ingredients and you can make your Vindaloo.
Okay, so you've got your spice brand, you're with a restaurant, you've got your TV show, you've done your books. What more can you do, Sapna?
I don't know. I have left it open for the universe. To,
right. So a lot of these things, like, they sort of come about
yes,
as well?
Yes, it is not planned. It's not, the book was not planned at all.
Okay.
I did not have an idea that, or inclination, oh, I'm going to write a book, or I'm going to plan for a TV show. Literally, I just left it open.
Right.
As an expat, early days, I could not work here.
Right.
So I think I was in a position where, what am I going to do now? What am
so
I going to do
So you got very resourceful.
Now? Yes, I did. So when you're in that position, you just leave, you open your mind.
Mm.
So that's what I did. I just said, let it come.
Right.
And then little by little by little, it started coming in. Although it came up with a lot of challenges, none of this was easy. The cookbook wasn't. It took a long time for me to write the book. They wanted me to have a comprehensive section on spices.
Mm.
So I went down to India. I went to stay with the farmers. I had a lot of help with Spice Board of India, which is one of the biggest organization that controls spices and quality and does quality control and spice trade. I worked with them very closely. I worked with the farmers. That's how the spice brand idea came into picture. I learned a lot. And what I learned from, you know, from the ground, working with the farmers, that has now come to use and it has opened many different doors. So I'm also teaching at Le Coeur de Bleu to students at a bakery, the cuisine. And
here in Malaysia?
Yes, here in Malaysia. I do one class every term.
Okay.
So what happens is they go through a six-hour lecture when just before graduating. That's the end of the course. So all the different sections, students come together for my class. During that six-hour lecture, we speak about the history of spices and how to use them. Because all these students are graduating from a prestigious French culinary school. But how much of a knowledge do you have of your homegrown spices? You're from Asia. You should be knowing the basics of how to use spices, the names, what can you expect, the taste, the smell, the senses. You know, spices come with five senses. If you don't know the basics, I believe there's no point having the best education.
Right.
There is more to it. So what you're going to carry when the students graduate and probably you'll be working at the world's 50 best or a Michelin star restaurant, what you will be carrying is the uniqueness that's from your home country, which will be, you'll be surprised. The Westerners love it when they know that you know your home spices.
Right. I'm just thinking, you know, of course, there's Gagan, right, in Bangkok and all that. And of course, he's about to close and start a new venture.
Yes.
Do you think we can get our first Michelin with you here in Malaysia?
I'm not aiming for that. I'm just aiming for some really good food.
Okay, we'll just open the doors and see what happens.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us. What an interesting and colourful journey it's been for you. And you know, just listening to this. I was saying to Chef Sapna Anand, you've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.